Open your Bibles with us this evening, please, in the book of Psalms. And in the book of Psalms, we turn to the 51st Psalm. Psalm number 51. Open your Bibles, the 51st Psalm. Just let's read some verses from God's Word. Commencing to read at verse 1. Psalm 51, commencing to read at verse number 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and fallible word for his name's sake. Amen. When we gathered in God's house this morning, I suppose we have the joy of reading one of the most tremendous stories of faith and victory. Even when faith was tested in the fire, thank God the fire couldn't put their faith out, because they really believed God. It was the story of the three Hebrew boys that loved the Lord and took their stand for God and were willing to die if that's what their faith really was going to cost them. They were willing to be faithful to the Lord even unto death. When we come to this psalm that is before us, Psalm 51, however, we see in the psalm the very opposite story. In actual fact, the background to the psalm is the fall of a great king, a man after God's own heart. But what I want to say this evening is this: thank God the fall that we find in the background to the psalm. Thank God in the psalm he made his way back. And the fall wasn't final. And glory to God, the Lord is able to restore the fallen. And the Lord is able to touch your heart afresh and bring you back to the path of pardon and repentance. Whenever Charles Haddon Spurgeon was speaking upon the psalm and the verse 7, which we will leave as our text, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean, wash me and I shall be white and so, I was reading just how he introduced the study or the meditation upon the words of verse 7 in the psalm. And the interesting thing was this: he introduced it, and his message was a very simple one. Now, he was the prince of preachers. And yet his introduction reminded us of the old divine who used to go into a study, and he would sit there with a little book in his hand. The friends would watch him as he would study this little book, and they would wonder what was in this book that he spent a considerable period of time in meditating upon and studying. And of course, with an inquisitive mind, they asked the great Spurgeon what was in the book. It didn't seem to be a big book. It didn't seem to be a thick book. But it certainly seemed to be an interesting book. The old divine answered those who inquired of him what was in the book. He said that he hoped that they would know all and they would understand all that was in the book, although there was not a single word in it. In actual fact, when they looked at the book, there were simply three pages. And all they were simple colors. And many of the boys and girls know the story of the wordless book. And the story was that, and this old divine was sitting there and he would study the book, and the first page was black, and then he would turn it over and the second page was red,
And he would turn it over and the back page is white. And the old divine used to sit there and he would study the wordless book. And as he looked upon the black page, it reminded him of his sinful nature. It reminded of him of how sinful and black and dark his heart was by nature. And that's how God found him. He found him in the blackness and the darkness of his heart. And then when he turned the page and he saw the red page, it reminded of him of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, glory to God, cleanses from all our sin. And that there's not a stain too black or a sin too deep. But glory to God, the precious blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from all sin. And the devil's a liar. Sometimes, you know, the devil tells the sinner, you couldn't come to God. You couldn't call on God for mercy, for salvation, because God didn't want you. Look at your sin. Look at your past. It's so black. It's so dark. It's so hideous. It's so hellish. But praise God, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Bible says, cleanseth from all sin. My, that's a good answer to the devil. And he hits the blood anyway. And glory to God, tell him it again and again. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And then he turned to the white page. And when he looked at the white page, he thought of the perfect righteousness which God had given to those who believe through the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. My friends, sometimes we try to make the gospel just hard for people to understand. I believe that old divine had something wonderful there. I believe that he had, in a very simple way, he was bringing before those who asked him and inquired of him what he was reading, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that was the introduction that Spurgeon gave to this psalm here. When the psalmist cried out, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. He said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You see, whenever we first meet David, and David was the king, the Bible tells us concerning David that he was a ruddy young man. He was good looking. He was a fair countenance. He was good to look upon. And yet the story of David's fall is a sad story. And friend, it's a very solemn story. I believe whenever we look at the scriptures that tell us of the fall of David, it reminds us of the nature of fallen man. Genesis chapter 8 verse 21 says, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The book of Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Paul, when he was writing the book of Romans chapter 7 verse 18, he said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. David, it was time for battle. He was the king. He ought to go out with his soldiers to battle, put on the sword, and go out and face the enemy. But instead of that, he was slothful. He was willing to lie about instead of going out to do the battle for God. And my friend, this slothful young man soon would fall into grave and grievous temptation and into grievous sin. There's a warning about the house of the slothful. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30, it says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. There was the field of the slothful. And that was exactly where David was standing. He was in the field of the slothful. He was living in the house of the slothful. And soon David would satisfy the lusts that would take over his life. I was thinking about this young man. And friend, you know, I was reading in Psalm 101, one of David's psalms, and I want to listen to what he said. Psalm 101, remember David wrote many of the psalms. You look in your Bible, it says Psalm 101, a psalm of David. Do you notice what it says in verse 2? I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And friend, as I was reading those words, I thought about the I wills of David. The I wills of man. He said, I will behave myself. I will walk with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And yet we find that this very person who wrote that psalm, it was the looking upon Bathsheba that took away his heart. Not a bit of wonder the word of God says, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. I want us to look at three things this evening as God gives us help. First of all, I want us to look at the plea here. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And let me put this plea, my friend, into its context. At the time that David sinned, he wasn't a young man. He's about 50 years of age. In other words, he wasn't a hot-blooded youth that was taken away with his lusts. But he was a person who had sons. He had reached the year, even his very sons had reached the years of manhood. And what a fearful example he was to his own sons. Uriah was a faithful soldier. He was one that was willing to go to battle for his king. And yet when David sent for him, it wasn't to confess his sin with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, but rather it was to cover it up. Whenever David sent for Uriah, all that was in his heart was this: conceal his crime, conceal his sin, and escape the temporal consequences that his sin would bring. Book of Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, he that covereth sin shall not prosper. David sinned a horrible sin of adultery. And whenever he sinned that, he didn't humbly confess to God that he had sinned. But rather than seeking God and running to God and confessing his sin to God and repenting of his sin, rather he started his carnal scheming. He planned how he would cover it up. How he would cover it over. And friend, you know the story. Many of you tonight in this congregation, one sin led to another. If the child was born and Uriah was alive, then the people would know that that child was conceived while Uriah was in battle. And the spotlight would go upon the king and the fall of the king. Over and over again, he tries to cover his sin. But under God, the plans that he makes fall apart. Instead, we find that deeper and deeper into the mire of evil he trod, until he not only added the sin of murder to the sin of adultery, but he still tried to continue with the sin of hypocrisy and cover it up. Oh, the mockery of sin. Actual fact, the Bible tells us that whenever Uriah died, it says, she mourned for her husband. What hypocrisy. She mourned for her husband, and yet, my friend, she had deliberately sinned with the king. Perhaps David feels his dark, despairing days are past. Uriah is dead. But you know what the Bible records? It records God's displeasure with David's sin. and unknown to others, God continued to work. And God stepped in with conviction. And now, friends, there were nights whenever he lay upon his bed and David was concerned and broken because of his sin. Psalm 32 says, verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. And God was dealing with his heart, and God was crushing David's heart because of his sin. And the truth of those words, be sure your sin will find you out. Not even the palace, not even the royal servants could give relief for the remorse of David's heart. And David found out that every sin's a tragedy. And the sin will never bring the satisfaction that it promised or that he expected again. And then finally, God sent Nathan. He sent his prophet to the king. The prophet told the story about the little ewe lamb. David got angry. He thought it was a story about somebody else and not himself. Then Nathan the prophet said to the king, thou art the man. You know, probably 1 year had elapsed since all this had happened. The conscience of David lay slumbering, but God sent his prophet and with one stroke awakened the conscience of David to the guilt of his sin. And he cried out, I have sinned. Then let me tell you, this young man was a young man that God had providentially intervened for and worked for on many occasions. You know, when he was only a young lad, God chose him to be king. He was just a shepherd. Just a shepherd boy looking after the sheep. But God chose him out from all the nation of Israel. And God says, that's the young man that I want to be king. One day the lion came. And David fought him off, but God intervened, friend. And God delivered him from the paws of the lion. And then one day the bear came. And once again David's heart went out for the rescuing of that little lamb. And he went out and he fought with a bear. But God delivered him. Providential intervention. He hadn't the strength to fight the bear himself or the lion. But God delivered him. And then one day he faced Goliath. He was only a stripling of a lad. He had only the stones. And he put the stone in the sling. And God directed it to the very spot. Do you think it was David that killed Goliath, friend? In his own strength, with his own power, it was the providential working of God. And God blessed him and God prepared him for the great day that God would make him king. And then you remember when Saul went into his tantrums. Do you remember when Saul fired the javelin and it just missed David? Do you remember the Bible tells us he was hunted like a partridge? Yet over and over again, God intervened and God providentially worked for David. See, God was good to him. And yet, friend, it was after all the blessings of God and after all the providential workings of God. Yet David deliberately sinned. See, let me make it abundantly clear. David was the young man who said these words. David said, in thy law doth he meditate day and night. David knew what God's word said. God's word said, thou shalt not commit adultery. He knew it. He said, the law of God says, thou shalt not kill. He knew it. And yet we find, although he knew all of these things, he deliberately and willfully sinned against the God who would make him king.
Maybe there's someone here this evening in this service, and God has providentially delivered you many times. Has God not blessed some of you, many of you here? Listen, there's young lads here, and they're brought up in godly homes, Christian believing parents. From your earliest day, you've been instructed in the Word of God. You know, there are many people that are living to dying tonight, and they've never heard the gospel once. And from your earliest day, from the days that you began to count, or even perhaps even earlier, before you were able to put the words together, your godly parents made sure that you went to the house of God. Listen, you're not sinning in ignorance. You're not living in ignorance. You're sinning against light, deliberately, willfully. And friend, when you stand before God, let me tell you what the book says. It shall be more tolerable, listen, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for thee. God said to the city of Capernaum, a city that God had blessed with opportunity and God had blessed with great interventions, because the Lord Jesus Christ many times went there and worked many miracles there. And he said, listen, O Capernaum, listen, you've been exalted to heaven with all your privileges, and God says you'll be cast down to hell. I tell you, my friends, an awful thing to go to hell from a gospel-preaching church where you've known the gospel from your earliest days and yet you've trampled under your foot the message of the cross. You've rejected the Son of God. There's others of you, let me tell you, you remember the days of peril, the days of danger, and God intervened. Maybe there's others, and you remember days whenever sickness came upon your body and the old tent pegs of life began to shake, and you remember the vows you made to God. Oh God! God, you deliver me, you let me live out my days, and I'll serve thee. I'll get to your house, I'll read your word, I'll love your son. And friend, God delivered you, and you went back to your sin. Oh, that God would reveal to you, as God revealed to David, the blackness of his heart. Men and women, don't close your eyes to the evilness of your heart, but let God convict you of your guilt. Remember what God said to Belshazzar one night? God sent, he wrote the finger upon the wall, and God said to him, Belshazzar, he says, I've weighed you in the balance. He says, you're found wanting. God weighing you tonight? Tell me, what does God find when God weighs you, friend? You with all the blessings, you with all the gospel opportunities, you with all the privileges. David's heart was stubborn. He was rebellious in his sin. He knew what was right. He did that which was wrong. And yet with all the knowledge, friend, he tried to cover it and cover it and cover it and cover it. And God peeled away the coverings until God got right down into the depths of his soul. And he said, thou art the man. And David found there was nowhere to run, for God had outpaced him. And let me tell you, friends, I guarantee something. You'll never outrun God. Some of you are trying to run away from God. You're trying to run away from God's Word. You're trying to blind your eyes to the reality of God's book. Let me tell you, friend, you'll not outrun God. Be sure your sin will find you out, and God will bring you to account. And trembling and broken, he falls on his face before God, and his heart is open now. Away with the fooling, away with the mockery, away with the sham. And he cries out in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me. O God. O God, I'm such a sham. Such a hypocrite. Such a fool. God, have mercy on me. Friend, God broke him. And trembling before the Lord, he cried out. He says, God, have mercy upon me. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Let me tell you, he knew he had nothing to offer to God. He knew he had nothing to present. He was dirty. Friend, let me tell you, you might think that you're all right tonight. You might think that you're so self-righteous and you don't need the Lord. Let me tell you, in God's sight, you're filthy. For God says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. From the crown of your head to the sole of your foot, there's naught but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You're just a load of sin. Pathetic sinner who boasts of his nothing. Tell me, what will God have to do to break some of the folks that are here? I've said this before and I say it again. Before God, I honestly fear what God will have to do in mercy, in the breaking of some who have heard the gospel Sunday after Sunday for years, in this house from their earliest day. And yet, friend, they're not a step nearer Christ. Not a step nearer. But they're harder and more rebellious than ever they've been before. And I cry to God for you. And I say, oh God, be merciful. Please, God, be merciful. Don't send them to hell. Whatever you have to do, Lord, but don't let them go to hell. And I say that because I love you. But remember, God broke David. Notice the purging. He said, verse 7, he said, purge me with hyssop. Oh yes, you see, David knew exactly how deep his sin was. You read that, you read the verses up there to verse 7. And over again, he's crying out to God and he says, I acknowledge my transgression, my sin, my sin, my sin, my sin. He calls it by its name. Doesn't say my faults. Doesn't say my weak feelings. He says my sin. Oh, that the pulpit would get back to calling sin what it is. Oh, that the preachers would preach what God speaks of in His Word. That's why they've taken the modern translations and tried to take away the authority of the book. They call it, they want to take the edge of it. It's a wee bit abrupt. Let me tell you, my friend, you can never knock the edge of what God says for what God said in the first place. Whether man changes it or not, God still said it. And he said, listen, verse 6, Lord, you desire truth in the inward part. Listen, he knew it. You desire truth. And friend, until you get to the place of truthfulness where you'll honestly
honestly and openly confess that you're a sinner and nothing else, thou guilty, ill-deserving, hell-deserving sinner, until you get to that place, you'll never get to the cross. You'll never get to Calvary. You'll never get to the blood. You'll never get to Christ. And David said, Lord, you desire truth in the inward parts, and the hidden parts thou hast made me to know wisdom. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. He says, wash me. Wash me. And I'll be wet in the snow. You see, the purging, or the hyssop, was used with the blood sprinkling in the ceremonial law. You can read it for yourself in Leviticus chapter 14, 4. But he's one cleansing. He's wanting washed. He says in the opening verse, he says, blot out my transgressions. The word there, blot out, is obliterate the record. Draw the pen through the register. God, I want it dealt with. I want it put away. Nothing else will do. He says, purge me with hyssop. Wash me, Lord. Wash me. That brings me to the question, what can wash away my stain? What can wash away your stain, friend, tonight? Can the waters of baptism do it? Can ceremonies and rituals do it? The answer is no. Let's turn a verse over in 1 John chapter 1. It's already quoted by our brother in the opening prayer. 1 John chapter 1, let's look at verse 7, very quickly. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, that we would consider the greatness of the atonement tonight. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, the blood of Jesus. You know, whenever I think of the name Jesus, thank God, oh, there's the mystery of the cross. He's called Jesus. Points to us the Lord's humanity. The purpose of His incarnation was His propitiation. To this end was He born. He became flesh in order to die. He came into the world to save sinners, and when we call Him Savior, then we call Him by His name. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, that shows us the mercy of the cross. Christ means anointed one. It emphasizes His office. The cross of Christ is a proclamation of mercy. In the Old Testament, whenever the priests or the prophets or the kings were entering upon their special offices, they were anointed, the anointing oil. Thank God Jesus Christ is our prophet, our priest, our king. I haven't time to go into this tonight, for time I know is away, but listen, away in eternity in the eternal council chamber of the Holy Godhead, God the Father laid hold upon His Son. The Holy Spirit anointed and appointed Him as the only Redeemer of God's elect. And He said, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. God's Son. The deity of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. It's the blood of Jesus, friend. It's the blood of Jesus alone that can cleanse you from your sin. Waters of baptism will never take away your stain. But praise God, the blood of Jesus can. Let me show you. Book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 11. It says, every priest standing daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God. Thank God the work was finished. And notice what was accomplished. Look at verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. What did David cry out? He says, God, blot it out. Put it into the sea of your forgetfulness. Lord, put away my sin. My sin that is ever before me. Oh, the burden of sin. Oh, my friend, the guilt of a sin. Oh, the anguish that had come into his heart because of a sin. He said, oh God, put it away. Blot it out. Cleanse me. Wash me. Purge me from my sin. And God says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Turn back to the book of Isaiah quickly. Just let us just notice a few verses there. Isaiah chapter 43. Look at verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. Not good. What David asked for, God blot them out. And God says, I'm the one for my own sake. I'll blot out thy transgressions and I'll never remember your sins again. You see, when God forgives us our sin, friend, God forgets it. You reach out your hand and you say, friend, I'm sorry. I did wrong against you and I want you to forgive me. And friend, let's be honest. There's many a person that you've said, I've forgiven you, but listen, you can't forget. You say, I'll watch them, lest they do it again. But God blots out our sin. Go to chapter 44 of Isaiah and look at verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. He said, I've blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. He says, I blotted them out. But let me tell you, friend, only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from your sin. It cost our Savior His life's blood. Salvation's not cheap. It took the Savior from the throne and put him on a cross. What a Savior. We finish tonight with a pardon. He says, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. I shall be clean, whiter than the driven snow. You say to me, preacher, but you don't know my past. Friend, that's true. And I don't need to. You see, God knows it already. God knows your past. God knows your sin, friend. God knows everything about you. He knows your uprising, your downsitting. Let me tell you, your outgoing, your incoming. There's nothing about you that God doesn't know. And you thought all the time that you were hiding it from your family and you were hiding it from your friends. And God watched every step of the journey. He watched your every step. And he saw your every sin. And let me tell you, friend, you need cleansed. God knows your sin. But praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. One final verse and our meeting's over tonight. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. So many verses I could take you through this evening. It brings a blessed promise and blessed assurance that whenever you come to Christ and bring your sin to His blood, that He'll blot it out and He'll pardon it and He'll forgive it, and thank God, praise His name, He'll forget it. But Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." He says, "Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The scarlet sin of adultery was in David's heart. The ruby red sins of murder was in David's hands. But the blood of Jesus washed him clean. You come tonight. You ask the Lord to deal with your sin. Let's be honest, friend. If you're not willing to abandon your sin and repent of your sin, He can't forgive it. You've got to come to an agreement with God concerning your sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful, He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow, for there's power in the blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless Thy word to every heart. Thou knowest every young man, young woman, older persons in this gathering tonight. Thou knowest those that are Thine and those that are far from Thee. Thou knowest those that are halting betwixt two opinions. Oh God, bring them to Christ. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, we're going to sing that little verse of invitation, "Just as I am," without one plea. If there's someone in this gathering, say, "Preacher, no, I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. No, I'm not washed. The guilt of my sin, oh God knows that God has spoken to me concerning my sin. I feel the guilt of it and the pangs of it. But tonight, by the grace of God, I'm turning from it." As our heads are bowed, if there's one in this gathering, as we sing the invitation, just slip that hand above your head, friend, to indicate that desire. "Preacher, I know God knows my heart, but I'm taking my place before Him. I'm agreeing with God tonight. I'm confessing my sin. And I'm coming to the fountain of cleansing, the Redeemer's blood, to cover all my sin. Just as I am. Just as the one tonight in the closing moments of our meeting. Friend, come to the Savior. Let go of your sin, because one day you'll be taken from it. Is there one in the closing seconds? O Lamb of God, I come. Is there one in the closing moment? Will you slip that hand above your head that I'll see it, friend? Backslider. Back to the Lord. "Just as I am, and waiting not the final invitation. Just as is the one tonight in the closing seconds of this meeting to rid my soul of one dark blot. Friend, you'll never be able to do it. You'll never be able to rid your soul. Only the blood of Jesus, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. Is there one in the closing second? Just lift that hand right now. Father in heaven, may it please thee to take of thy word and write it in hearts. Give the saving grace, and even those whose feet would turn away from thy house, we pray in Jesus' name that you'll turn them back. Turn their hearts to the cross. Turn their hearts to the Savior. For only Jesus, the Son of God, can truly save. Get the blood on their soul tonight. O God, blot out their transgression. Wash them, and they'll be whiter than snow. For we pray in Jesus' name.